we're doing two of our favorite things.
Which are?
One, we're outside by a fire. Two, we're together.
Yes. For the first time in months.
I'm 6 feet away from Thomas. The reason I can tell you I'm 6 feet away is that I tried to hand him his mic and I couldn't get it to him. And it took his gigantic arms reaching across to grab it.
Google Gadget arms. Matthew Broderick.
No, the cartoon version.
Oh, yeah, the good one.
Dun, 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 dun.
Inspecting Gadget. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun. But we haven't been together recording this podcast together in a long, long time.
We're surrounded by birds out of doors.
That's nice.
At some point, you will hear a neighbor fire up the oldest sounding car of all time.
The oldest living truck.
There's also someone mowing a yard, and there's a potential for rain at some point, but who's to say when?
And our neighbors just did the 8 o'clock howl.
Yeah.
A scant 3 minutes ago.
A scant. What's been your... what's been your, like, go-to... I'm just like so. My mind is five different things.
Earlier today, I texted Thomas and I was like, "Should we just do the podcast in person tonight?" And he was like, "Yeah, what do we do?"
No, I
was
forgot.
Like, "What?" He was like, "I don't remember how we make the show."
I forgot. What's been your quarantine? Like, what's been a nugget from quarantine?
A nugget, like
a quarantine nugget.
This is what I'm learning.
No, not too, you know, we're not getting too serious yet. Come on, I didn't remember that much.
Okay, here's some things I'm enjoying from quarantine. I've only gotten to enjoy a little bit of this because my life is so different now. I don't have any time to, like, watch a show by myself, but I managed to find 1 hour to watch the first episode of that MJ documentary.
Mm.
Gosh, what a good movie.
I know, I'm only two in. I can't wait.
There were so many things I didn't know. Okay, also... I've eaten a lot of kettle chips, like the Lay's.
Didn't expect that.
Kettle chips.
Wow. That was out of left field. That was an RKO out of nowhere. I want to bring the RKOs back
that
again,
made
like
Rob Logan
2014.
So happy. Dude, Rob Logan just, I mean, if he's listening to this in his car, he just fist pumped.
Mm.
Just like, yes.
Yeah.
RKO. The kettle chips was?
Yeah. No, I didn't see that coming from you a little bit.
Another thing for me is, like, I have been such a snob about K-Cups for a long time, and I'm realizing, like, yeah, they're good. They're fine.
They wake you up, man.
I can't go to Starbucks.
I mean, let's be honest. We all add, like, caramel flavoring and stevia to it, right?
Have you got some Quarren Nugs?
What? That was my... If you don't know... My wife heard that, and she knows... That sound I just made is my, like, That's, like... Huh. That's a laugh that I do where I catch something where I think something's funny that I did. And like, I think my wife's the only person who knows that. She's like, what? Cause like, or,
laughing at your own joke.
Yeah. Quarren Nug. I don't know. I'm just like, I've eaten a lot. Yeah, I've gained every pound I'm allowed to.
Are you gaining your COVID-19?
Yeah. Wait, where did you get that joke from? Are you going to claim it as your own?
My little sister.
Okay. Jody had probably just put the podcast in for the first time. Jody. And was like, screw him.
Yeah. Jody does not listen to this podcast.
Ugh. I don't think any of our families
I
do.
I love her. Yeah.
Well, my wife. I think, although the other day she said, y'all have been doing the podcast? And I was like,
oh my gosh.
Like, yeah.
I thought
work.
Your wife listened to the podcast.
She does.
I thought she was like our only family member that does.
What does that say?
What does it say?
I don't know. Welcome. We're back.
Welcome to Ancient and New. We're back.
Sah.
We're back together. What one thing that this means is that I don't have to do like a mind-numbing amount of editing of like 16 voice memos together.
I know, because
save them.
We all know I'm not editing
from
those.
a text message to the Dropbox. Pull them from the Dropbox into a Pro Tools session. Line them all up perfectly. Change.
Who were the two guys that wrote Good Will Hunting? Ben Affleck and who?
And Matt Damon.
Which one's the one who gets most credit for? Is it Matt Damon?
Matt Damon.
There's a like one of my favorite. I used to be really into Family Guy.
Yeah.
Like in high school, and one of the best ones. They always do these little cutscenes.
Yeah.
And one of them, like someone will make a comment and it'll be a metaphor or a simile like, yeah, it's like that time so-and-so did something and they'll cut to it. And one of them was like, oh, this must be what Matt Damon felt like after Good Will Hunting. And it shows Matt Damon, like, signing the title on, Good Will Hunting. And he, like, stacks the papers together. And Ben Affleck, like, rolls up off the couch and is like, what? Like...
But Ben Affleck has an Oscar because of...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I feel right now, because you've been editing every... Not that this is Oscar-worthy, but you've edited every second.
Some might say it is.
Yeah. What's the award show for podcasts? Do we just become millionaires?
The potties?
We just became millionaires because we invented the Tonys.
Sounds too much like potty.
But you're not taking it seriously.
Thomas got a text message from his sister. It was a picture of a potty.
A full potty that my nephew used for the first time.
Whose name is also Duke, yeah. Which makes the joke even funnier. Yeah, the potties. We should start the award show for podcasts.
No one's ever done that I know of.
Well, Say That has the thatties.
Oh.
And Matt King wins best beard of the year every year.
Well, I just meant like there's of a Tony podcasts. Awards. Yeah. There's an no, Emmy right. Awards. There's a...
Then you would have the...
Golden Globes.
EGOTPA. Which is the Emmy, the Grammy, the Oscar, the Tony, and the potty.
Who cares? Let's start.
Okay. Welcome to Ancient and New.
There's that car.
Yeah, that car is super loud. Do you want to begin?
Sure, of course.
Carry on.
This is from John chapter 1. That's how we do this, right?
That's how we do it.
This is from John chapter 1.
Except one thing about the way that we do this in the old school fashion is, like, I feel like whoever I suggest goes first, you'll always tell me, like, oh, really? Because it's been the other way.
I've grown. Also, I don't listen to our podcast, so I don't know how you've put the things in order for the past month and a half. Because it's just like Monday morning, voice memo. Here we go.
Right.
Okay, here we go. I'm going to start in verse 44. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael said. "Come and see," said Philip. And it says, when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." And then Nathanael said, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." There's just like so much coolness.
Yeah.
Lee did this thing in our small group before this whole thing happened. It was probably 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Where you asked, like, what would Jesus say about you? It wasn't, what do you want him to say about you? But
right.
What would he say about
you? What do you think he would say?
Yeah.
And there was a specific thing about, like, what do you think Jesus likes about you?
Yeah, yeah.
There was part of that, too. Yeah.
And I love that, like, Nathanael, we go from, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Like, we hear that. And then here's Jesus saying, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Mm. Which, that's a big step, because the Israelites were not awesome a lot of the time. I'm just like, one of the reasons that caught my eye the other day is because I've been reading the Old Testament so much.
Right.
And so I'm in Judges right now, and oh my word, they're the worst. Samson was the worst.
Except
for that time he pulled the temple down to kill everybody in it, which was like kind of cool, but it's kind of stunk.
You know, he fell well.
Yeah, he went out on a bang.
Yeah, as the...
No eyes, no hair.
As the tree was getting chopped down, he fell well.
Yeah,
but the rest of it sucked.
Yeah. They just go back and forth between, like, God doing something amazing, ash in my throat, and then, like...
Worth it.
You know, like, God doing something amazing for them to rescue them, yeah. Or to help them, and then them saying... And then, you know, whoever wrote Judges, I don't know that, I should, will just say, and the Israelites forgot about God and stopped paying attention to him and stopped worshiping him, and then they had all the stuff... And then begging God for forgiveness, and then him doing it.
Right.
It's going back and forth. And then for Jesus to say, here's an Israelite, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. And I just got hit with a raindrop. Dang it. And Nathanael saying, how do you know me?
Hmm.
Which is like kind of bold.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of admitting, like, yeah, that's me.
Like, that's the thing I go for in my life more than
yeah.
anything. Like, that's what I major on.
It's also awesome because... It's Jesus knowing something about him that is like, this is what I want to say to him. this is what I would say to him, because I know how badly he wants to hear it. And because, like, it probably was true if Jesus said it, you know?
Yeah.
He wasn't lying to him. It wasn't, I mean.
Absolutely.
He was encouraging him and saying, this is what is true about you.
Yeah, like the, like, I'm sorry I'm cutting you off right now.
No,
but,
cut. Dig.
Like, our buddy Nino hasn't, like, you know, he can't go into his office. He has to work from home / work from the church because he lives 200 feet from the church. And like the past 2 weeks, he's like gone into his office to paint the walls. And I'm like, that's not your job. Why are you going in to paint the walls? And he's like, I realized about, well, he said his wife realized about him that like, he wants to do something that somebody sees and says, good job, Nino.
Mm-hmm.
Like he said, I want attaboys. And so like, I'm doing something that my boss will see because everything else I'm doing working from the off, like working from home, my boss doesn't see it.
Right.
So he's like, I want attaboys. And like the idea that you would get an attaboy from Jesus is like, it's just so stunning. It's such an incredible moment in scripture because there's this thing about us where we would want to think like, I shouldn't need that.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't need Jesus to give me a pat on the head or whatever. And Jesus counters that with, no, I'm going to give you one. Because I like this about you.
Right. I do think it's a cool thing. I think it's a cool practice. Because you asked us, when's the last time you asked Jesus to do this? To say this?
Yeah.
And like, you know, there are things in my life that I specifically asked Jesus to encourage me about. And they're usually something with ministry. Or like something where I'm like, hey, will you just remind me that you're here? But it's never like, hey, I need you to, you know, I wish you would tell me this. Or like, I wish you would say this to me today at some point. And outside of like the list of about 6 things I think I'm supposed to get out of scripture, you know, like, hey, I need you to fill me up. I need you to tell me you love me. I need you to, which are all amazing things and they're really helpful.
Yeah.
But there are times when I'm like, I need an attaboy, but I need it specific to me. And Nathaniel went from, can anything good come out of there, to you're it.
Whoa.
Really quick.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if Jesus, I think he found something in his heart that only Nathaniel knew, or had ever, I bet the only time he had admitted that, I could be wrong about this, but I wonder if the only time he's ever admitted that of like, huh, I'm doing this well. Like, and no one sees it. I'm not asking my brother to tell me this.
Right.
I'm not asking my parents, but God knows. And then for him to say it, I don't know. I almost imagine like Nathaniel was thinking this on a walk that morning.
Well, dude, that's the thing about it is like, what occurs to me is that he's like under that fig tree is Nathaniel's quiet time spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like people that
I forgot the fig tree.
People that have like a consistent time with Jesus, a lot of times there's a geographical something involved with that. I mean, I used to have mine at the Oak Ridge Starbucks in this one corner booth. And like and me and it's who gets there first, me or Bobby Williams gets that booth. But like if Jesus was to say something to me about something in my heart that I'm working on and longing for, if he was to encourage me about something specific and I was like, what? And then he said, I saw you in the corner booth at the Oak Ridge Starbucks on Main Street and Turnpike.
No.
I would just be like, oh my gosh, this is all real.
Right.
It's all real. You're inside my heart. Like you have the keys to conversations that nobody else is allowed into.
Right.
That's amazing. I love
it's
that.
It's cool. I think it, but I do think, do this, try it this week.
Yeah.
Ask the Lord, what does he think about you? What would he say about you to your face?
Mm.
And then look for it. Look for it.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid. I think it's a cool thing to ask the Lord for something and then to look for it. I've been trying to memorize Colossians 4 and yeah.
Yeah, like if he was to
is now that I have a mic in my face, I can't say it, which is amazing.
Yeah. But if he was to if he was to pump you up about that, that would be such a sweet thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I So you and I are very similar in one thing, which is when we have our time with the Lord in scripture, we have like a few places.
Devote yourself to prayer, being both watchful and thankful. I needed the first
there
word.
You go, devote.
Devote. I was like, there's prayer in there and it's about being watchful and thankful.
Watchful and thankful.
Sorry.
So like you and I both have a thing where like, I am reading through one of the Gospels. I'm also reading through one of Paul's letters. I'm also reading through like, you know, So over the past couple of months, I've been reading through the book of Isaiah.
Apple tree.
And do what?
I said apple tree.
I thought you were saying something super quiet to the listener that I wasn't allowed to hear. But so like I've been reading through the book of Isaiah, but also... I'm towards the end of the Psalms, and I was also reading reading the book of Galatians. And there's when you read like that, sometimes your disparate readings will line up, and the needle will just hit on one single thought, and you're like, okay, this is the thing for today. This is what today is about, because both of these completely weird places that I'm reading scripture are talking about this thing. So in Galatians chapter 2, verse 6, Paul's talking about when he became a believer and then he went to Jerusalem to go meet with the apostles because he knew that the Lord was sending him to preach to the Gentiles. And so he had to go talk to them about it because are they going to let somebody go preach the gospel to people that aren't Jewish? That was like the first big debate in Christianity. So he went to Jerusalem to go talk to everybody about it. And he just says this. I mean, Galatians, Paul's fired up, but he says this thing. He says, as for those who were held in high esteem, whatever they were makes no difference to me. God doesn't show favoritism. They added nothing to my message. He said, on the contrary, they recognized that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised. And so he just like, so he says this thing, and I kind of read it, and I was like, I was reading Galatians 2, and I'm like, I didn't get a ton out of Galatians chapter 2 until I got to the end. There's that beautiful thing about the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me, and I was like, okay, maybe that's my thing. So then I turn over to Psalm 138, and Psalm 138, also in verse 6, says this, though the Lord is exalted, he looks kindly on the lowly. And all of a sudden I saw these needles like lining up together over like, you know, all the things that people value doesn't mean anything to God. Doesn't mean anything to him.
Yeah.
Like, your success, your achievement, your amazingness, all the awesome things that somebody would look at their life and say, this makes my life matter. And literally the Lord would say, it means nothing to me. Like the Lord loves the poor. The Lord loves those who are differently abled. Mm-hmm. The Lord pours out self-knowledge on people who have nothing and who have no ability to communicate it to anybody. And like that I love the way Psalm 138 says this, though he is exalted, he looks kindly on the lowly. And Paul just says, you know what? These guys that everybody looks at them and they just think they're so awesome. I don't care at all because God doesn't care. And so I don't care either. And I would love to be there.
Yeah.
I would love to not define success and amazingness the way everybody in the world does.
Yeah.
It would be really, really cool. But like it takes a moment like that for me to realize that the Lord super doesn't define it that way.
I know that's a cool thing. It's making me think of, there's a thing that you guys, when I say you guys, I mean you, Tom and Potts, I don't know who you're quoting or if y'all just made this up yourselves, but every once in a while you'll talk about like, the more you have here, the harder it is to leave. And
yeah, it was a guy that,
was it George Miller?
It was either George Whitfield or John Wesley that was riding around with a guy on his big
estate. That's right.
And the guy was showing him like, look at all my lands, look at all my stables, look at all my stuff. And he said, what do you think about my property? He's like, I think you're going to have a hard time letting go of all this.
Mm. It's going to be hard to leave. It's going to be hard to go home. Cause,
yeah.
Yeah. And I'm trying to live like that. That sounds, I'm like adjusting my shirt as I say that. And it feels like I'm like saying like, look at me. I'm not trying to say that by saying this.
I didn't know I was going to the gun show.
No, I COVID-19, man. But I'm trying to, because I think in the same vein that you're speaking in, like, you know, the things the Lord cares about, I should be caring about the things the Lord cares about. And I should spend less time caring about things that I'm supposed to care about. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
And I don't know. I'm just, I had a thought with what you were saying, and I'm trying to reconnect them.
While you're finding that, the thing that's interesting to me about this is like the thing that you were bringing up about Philip, and the thing that I'm talking about here in Galatians and Psalm 138, the place where these two things meet is I would love to be at the place where I could care less what anybody thinks about my life, my achievements, my successes, my failures, but to long for Jesus's attitude of me.
Right.
Like that, like, Lord, what do you like about my life?
And right.
Like whatever he would say on that, that I would go for that. Like I'm going for the gold, and like other crap that you're just going to say goodbye to, like that I would laugh it off.
Yeah.
You know,
that's what I'm trying to say. I think that's awesome. I think I was not realizing it, but I was trying to, there's an episode of The Office where Michael is like, okay, we need some bigger ideas. And Andy says, we should change our outgoing message machine to something really cool and really fun. And Michael's like, love it. And then Jim's like, I think we should change our outgoing message to something even more cool and even more fun. He's like, that's better. And Andy's like, tuna. That's what I was, I guess I was secretly doing that and didn't realize it to you.
I just realized that. Not at all. Also, my man Jack, he stands so close to the television when he's playing this Spider-Man game.
People heard that and they're like, stands?
He stands because he can't see. Bless his heart.
Oh.
He is like, he's 2 inches away from the TV screen.
I think my thought is going to have to forever be not complete because we're starting to get rained on.
We're getting rained on. I think I've spent so much of my life looking around, listening for, and paying attention to what other people think about my life.
Mm-hmm. And what we're supposed to think about it.
And what I realized the other night at our small group, when I asked that question of you guys, of like, what do you think Jesus would say about you? We were all dumbfounded.
Mm-hmm. It was the hardest thing I've ever been able to answer.
Nobody easily answered that question. We sat there in silence. It's like the most silent our small group's ever been. And it's because we realized at a certain point, we don't think like this. Mm. We don't believe that Jesus really digs stuff about us and would encourage the crap out of us if we gave him the chance.
Right.
And if we sat quiet enough and asked him. And so that's my encouragement for myself this week is not give two craps what anybody thinks about my life, except when it comes to Jesus, care a ton about it.
I love Nathaniel because that thing that happened to him, it's like the thing that gets me. It's the thing that will make me cry quicker than anything.
Right.
Is when someone knows something about me that I didn't express, and then they point it out, and it's probably unhealthy, a little bit. It probably says that I need that more than I realize. But I'm thankful that Jesus offers that in a way that no one else can. And I think it's so cool. I don't know. This is probably the most cohesive episode we've ever done. In the sense that it's like, we came back to mine.
Yeah.
Which we've never done. We've always been very segmented.
I think I said Philip instead of Nathaniel. Sorry about that.
That's okay. I almost referred to Bobby Williams as a lamb. No, a lap. A local area pastor. I almost just casually slipped in. Yeah, he's just a lap in our town.
Is that a term? I've never.
I just made it up. Actually, no one else would think anything of it. Today's message was brought to you by sunburn. I'm extremely sunburned in my shirt.
You are, you're roasted.
I'm like fidgeting right now, and it's because every part of me is kind of burning.
You're roasted. You're roasted. So good to be back together. So good to be around a fire. And so good to just to have a chance to talk about Jesus some more.
Yes. Praise.
Yeah. Love you, brother.
Love you.
We love y'all. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for sticking. If you've been like incredibly uncomfortable with our voice memos.
Yeah.
You've made it.
Maddie hasn't listened.
You've made it. You've made it. We're back.
You made it.
Thank you for doing that.
That's right. Until next time, I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
This has been H&M New. There's something that you want to be. Something that you are insisting on. There's so much you won't let us see. Something your front is depending on. Don't you understand?